Welcome once again to Learning Digital Photography. You are listening to, I believe, episode number 57. I'm going to have to check the numbers and get that posted correctly when this goes live. Today on the show, I'm talking to a woman by the name of Kirsten Wright. Kirsten came to us, I think I saw you follow me on Twitter, and I followed back and asked my friend Carrie if he knew about you because I saw you from the same area in California. And I'm talking, of course, about Carrie Garrison of Camera Dojo. Carrie said no, didn't know her. You know, let's find out. And then Carrie had you on his show.
Yeah.
And I got to learn more about you. And I was like, this is a really cool subject matter. I think we should do a little separate podcast talking about blogging for photographers. And I don't want to steal your thunder by telling everyone what you do, so I'm going to save that for you. Kirsten, welcome. And is it Kirsten or Kirsten?
Kirsten.
So Kirsten, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for coming on. And to start things off, why don't you just take a minute or two, maybe just do a little quick nutshell nugget of what it is you do with regard to social media.
Absolutely. Well, as far as, yeah, I think that I followed you first, but I think I actually got connected to you too. I have quite a few people that I know that are in your area. And so I think somebody that I know replied to you. And so I started following you. You know, it's kind of amazing how the whole Twitter world works.
I know, right? We were just talking about that offline too. So
yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. So tell us about your social media background.
Yeah. My background started in rhetorical communication, which is easier to say than explain. But the quick version is I studied how human psyche reacts to how they read and hear words. And so my background's all in the writing world. And, you know, social media took its boom in early 2003 with blogging and Facebook. And, you know, I decided that it sounded like a whole lot of fun to get involved in there. And then when Twitter hit, I got involved with it. And pretty soon I figured out that I absolutely loved it. And I was working for a marketing firm at that point, and they basically said, here, you're young, you do all of it. Like, okay.
Oh, the young does, okay, I see how that
works. You know, I guess I grew up with the technology. They figured I'd be better at it. Either way, when the economy took a downturn in 2009, myself and the entire team of six that I managed was let go. And so I decided at that point that I didn't want to work for anybody else any longer. And so I went out on my own, and all of my clients have been built through my blog readership and my Twitter followers and have all been referrals. I do actually 100% referral based. And for me, social media is a huge part of my life, but it's also something I'm very passionate about. And I believe that a social media strategy for almost any business, is beneficial. I say almost any business because if you're a lawyer, you know, specializing in, you know, personal injury cases, maybe not the best to be airing out your dirty laundry on Twitter, but
sure.
I work with small to mid-sized businesses, so businesses under 10 million revenue, to build out social media strategies, and if they need it, I also will work with them on implementation.
Very cool. So, and you mentioned quite a few social media aspects there. You were talking about Twitter and Facebook and blogging, and I know we've talked about blogging in the past on the show, and I've had a couple other website consultants like web designers and people that develop websites on to talk about the benefits of working towards SEO, search optimization. Yeah. We're dropping all these key phrases all over the place. But by and large, one of the most common questions that I get that people come to me with, and they're asking me these either in one of the tweets,
tweets
on Twitter. Yeah, tweets on Twitter. Say that 10 times fast. Tweets on Twitter, emails or direct messages or connecting through my Facebook page or wherever. And they're asking me, I'm a photographer. You know, make sense of all of this for me. Which ones should I be using? Which ones shouldn't I be using? Where should I best focus my time?
Which is an awesome question.
And I'm like, well, yeah, it's a fantastic question. And I'm sitting back here going, okay, I use them, but I'm probably not using them as effectively as I should be. I'm really not an expert on all the social. I know a little bit about all of it, kind of a jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
So when you went on Carrie's show, I was like, oh my God, this would be such a cool thing to have like a social media 101 for photographers. And this all comes on the heels of a couple of things that have happened recently. Twitter had some news a while back. I don't know how passionate people that follow the podcast and the blog are about these social media things. But Twitter had a recent update where they allow – TweetDeck is allowing over 140 characters now.
And yeah.
They bought out some other Twitter application, and then the folks that own Twitter blocked that one application. It was a question of whether or not they blocked TweetDeck and – Facebook with their changing strategies, and then most recently, the one that struck me most recently was this article by John Dvorak, who's actually a pretty well-known guy that writes a lot for PC Magazine, started talking about Facebook, and he's saying Facebook is not this be-all, end-all answer that a lot of people think it is. And I think that he used the phrase, it's the ghettoization of the internet.
I do remember reading that. And
I was like, oh my gosh, it's so much. So I wanted to bring you in and have you talk to us more about these things. So which ones are good? Is Facebook the ghetto? Is Twitter where it's at?
You know, I love that phrase. I read that article and I seriously just started laughing. I am actually the first to say I don't personally like Facebook. I use it. You know, I have my own personal profile and then I have a business profile, but I think that there are so many better tools out there as a main tool to use. I think so few people really understand how to use Facebook the right way, that I really am not a fan of it. In order of the ranking, I'm always going to say that first and foremost, the most important is a blog integration into your website, especially for a photographer. You know, as a photographer, you have something different than a lot of people. You have the ability to share your own pictures, which very few people can do. I know personally, I can never use my own photos because me and a camera just don't mix. So I have to, you know, borrow pictures from other people and link back to them, you know.
Sure.
Whereas it'd be great to use my own pictures. The other thing is, as a photographer, you have an expertise that people want to tap into. You know, being better at photography is something that anyone can and does want to have. And so being able to share some tips and tricks with the general public can not only paint yourself as an expert in the industry, but gets people to continually come back to your site and look at new pictures that you've taken. And one of the pitfalls that a lot of photographers fall into with blogging is they use it as a continually updating portfolio. And I'm going to say this the nicest way possible. Nobody cares about your pictures that much. The people who care about photos, it's true.
Like
the people that care about the photos that you take at an event are the people who attended the event, but they're already clients. The people who you're trying to attract are the people who are interested in hiring you, which means you have to attract them. To do so, you need to focus on what they want, which is not pictures of someone else's wedding. You know, and so
interesting.
It's one of the molds kind of that I have to break a lot of my clients. I work with a couple different photographers, and I have to break them out of that concept of I want to share all my pictures. I get that you think you want to share all your pictures, but reality is you should be sharing your best 30 or 40 in
sure.
your portfolio, and save your blog for sharing content and one amazing photo that ties to that content.
So I guess, and it's interesting you said that the big thing for photographers is to get a blog that ties into their website.
Yes.
So does that mean you would, and that's number one. So
yes.
To kind of, I guess, split those two out, if you had to say a photographer should have a blog integrated into a website or a website integrated into a, because I've seen it go both ways, and mine's actually kind of the reverse of that. Mine is like the blog, and then I also have a website of photography stuff, but my blog isn't really about photography tips and tricks per se, or isn't about hiring me as a photographer. It's more about the writing about photography, the education of photography.
Well, actually, the blog that you have would be better integrated within your own site because it's painting you as an expert in photography. You know, your blog should not be a place to sell yourself. It should be a place to show people what you do really well, and they will then realize, okay, you know what you're talking about. You are so good at what you do that you can even help an amateur take better photos. I should be wanting to hire you for that reason, not just because you've said, hire me. And so with that said, my biggest suggestion for a photographer is to do a WordPress-based blog. And when I say WordPress, I mean self-hosted. So you've purchased your own domain, you install WordPress onto the site, you work with a designer to have it designed, because then you have the back end, is really easy to use, easy to update, easy to change. And one of the benefits is, too, is with a WordPress-based blog is it ties into other social media really easily. So
your Twitter, Facebook,
LinkedIn, even YouTube are made really easy with using something like that, which goes into my number two suggestion is Twitter.
Right. Let's circle back just for one second.
Absolutely.
The whole thing I was asking about here is you were talking about tying a blog into a website a blog into a website, and a website is where a photographer is featuring their images.
Yes.
So then a blog for a photographer should be what, doing promotional things about their work as to why people should hire them?
No, it should be more of a informational piece. So you should be giving, five tips on taking evening photos, or how to make your wedding photos amazing. And these should be tips that you're giving to the people that they can use. So if they do hire you, they already have a little more knowledge.
Okay.
So what you're doing is you're allowing people to see that you're not just somebody who takes good pictures. You also understand composition. You understand how photography works more than just a digital camera with a really nice lens on it.
Right. All right, so that's number one then, a website with some blog integration. And I like the second part of what you said there, where you're hiring a web designer to do that for you.
Yes.
And
I can't
see a
say
lot
that
of,
enough.
And I'm kind of guilty of that myself, and I see a lot of other photographers fall into that where they're awesome at photography and they just do fantastic work, and then they get the blog thing going and they're like, well, it's WordPress, I can learn how to do that. So they start learning how to do the WordPress and working with plugins and doing WordPress updates and trying this theme and trying that theme and always tweaking their design, and I'm just as guilty as the next person. But the hiring of a web designer is key, because if you can find a good web designer, and this is just my own little rant here, if you can find a good web designer that can integrate a WordPress blog or a Squarespace blog or whatever blog platform you end up going with, we've talked about that in the past on the show, so I don't want to go too far into the WordPress side, but if you get a web designer to set up a blog that integrates for you well into a larger website, it looks so much better. It's like it's more seamless.
Absolutely.
And a good example is someone I know from the NAT forums, and I just caught up with her and her website, and I don't have the link in front of me, so I'm going to have to throw a link to it in the show notes. Her name, it's wildlight.ca.
Okay.
Really sweet girl. She's over in the NAT forums, and her blog and her website are so well integrated. You can't tell there is a shift from the website to the blog. It just flows seamlessly, beautifully.
Is with WordPress is you can actually create something that looks entire like an entire website with the blog into it. So you don't actually have to add the blog into a site. Everything is one piece under WordPress. For example, my website, writecreativity.com, my entire website is WordPress-based, but it looks nothing like a blog. I have a blog on it, but it's a website too, but it's all based in WordPress, which allows for the updates. The one warning that I will have with a website for a photographer, and this is just the design elements, is stay away from Flash. And this is my own little thing, and I know that it feels pretty, but you're shooting yourself in the foot.
You are. Yeah.
And I'll get off my high horse after that note, but
keep going.
It's a big part of who I am, and it's one of the services that I do with my clients too. And the biggest thing that photographers need to avoid is Flash. It doesn't benefit your website.
Right. And we've talked about this on the podcast in the past. For those of you that are regular listeners, you'll know Eric Bernskjold, also a NAP forum member, had talked about Flash and how it's not very SEO friendly. Web crawlers don't see it. All those sorts of things. So that's definitely a good reminder to stay away from the Flash side of things when developing a blog and a website, for that matter, whether you're using WordPress or any other solution, any other web solution that's out there. That kind of is a good tangent or a good, lead into the next topic I wanted to kind of bring in and hopefully get some insights from you on.
Absolutely.
About this whole thing on blogging, because so many people have blogs out there, and yeah, I get a lot of people asking me questions about how to blog, but then the question also becomes, well, with so many other photographers out there and bloggers out there, you know, how am I really going to stand out? Is it really worth it to blog for me? And, you know, and then some people say, I've read articles where they say blogging is dead because of the microblogging formats of, you know, Twitter and Facebook, and that's really good question. Is blogging dead? Because I don't think it is, but I'm
I certainly hope not, because if it is, I'm out of a career.
There you go.
No, I joke, but okay, here's the thing. Blogging is never going to be dead regardless of the other platforms. The reason why is because they work so well together. Now here's where you need to think about it, and this is a message that I tell everyone. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing, because people don't hire you because they want someone else. People hire me, people hire you, people hire someone because of that person. There are thousands of people who do what I do, probably just as well, and some of them maybe even better. But the reason that I get hired is because people like my personality. They like how I work. They like the way that I'm going to be working with them. We don't all get along with everybody. We click with different people. And especially in an industry like photography, where you're working so intimately with your clients, certain photographers will get business from certain types of people, and not everybody is going to mesh. And that's where you have your distinct advantage. And that's why, even if every single photographer on the planet had their own blog, it wouldn't matter, because your blog is distinctly you. And it's the same thing with your Twitter and Facebook.
I can't agree with that more. And that's one thing that I'm continually telling people when they're coming to me asking questions, is I keep telling people, look, you're not selling them photographs. Well, you are selling photographs, but in essence, what you're selling is your way of taking photographs. Yeah. You're selling them you. You know, it's your person. And like you said, you know, it's such an intimate relationship when you establish a connection with people, and they get you, and they get your vision, and they like the way you do things. It's because they like you.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, but as a byproduct, they like your work and they like how you work, but it's all tying back to the individual, not what the individual sells.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the photographers that are considered the elite, I mean, you look at the photographers who photograph for Vogue and InStyle and things like that, where they're doing the cover photos, there's a reason that there are a select few that get the most work. They all are amazing photographers, but it's the photographer that's the easiest to work with, that has the best personality, that works well with the models. Those are the ones that get booked most often, and it's the same thing in any industry.
Right.
And that's really important when we start talking about Twitter and Facebook, is, you know, one of the questions everybody asks me on Twitter is, what's my voice on Twitter supposed to be? How am I supposed to talk to people? And my suggestion for anyone who is in this type of industry, you know, if you're Coca-Cola, it's a totally different story, you know, because you have one person that represents the brand. In this case, you are your brand. You know, if you were to look at my Twitter stream, yes, there is some conversation about the blog posts that I've sent out and business that I do, but 80% of it is just conversation with people about what's going on, you know, sharing articles, having discussions, because that's who I am. And it's that personality that gets people to want to continue talking to you, and then down the road, referring you.
Right. And referring could even mean going so far as to actually doing business with you.
Yes.
Even if it's not a referral, it can still lead to a direct hiring situation where they may not need you right now, but like you said, down the road. And it's all about building that now. I'm just reiterating what you said. So.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll stop doing the reiteration. Let's just move into the second phase, because you said the first thing is to have the website and blog, and the second thing, which we kind of started talking into, is Facebook and or Twitter.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people are also saying, you know, I can't do all of it. I can't do a website and a blog and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn.
Yeah, the people that say that are people who don't actually care about their business. It's the reality. Look, So I know that's a little harsh, but I'm going to back.
No. It actually is a good answer to the question, because, well, I'm sorry. You're the expert, so you talk. Go.
Let me explain why. look, okay, so we all have good days and bad days with our business. We have months that are slow and months that are busier. And I actually wrote a post recently about this, that none of us actually have time to blog. I can tell you right now, I don't have time to blog. Don't have time to tweet, and I don't have time to Facebook update. But guess what? I write 5 blog posts a week, and I'm on Facebook an hour a day and on Twitter a couple hours a day. Why? Because if I wasn't, I wouldn't have a business. It's just like your business cards. You don't stop printing them because you're busy. Or it's like making phone calls or going to networking events. You don't stop doing it just because you're busy. The minute you stop marketing is the minute that you don't have a business. And social media is just another marketing strategy, but it's one that is extremely important when you're in a consumer-based business. When you're selling directly to someone, those someones are on social media. So if you're not active there, then your competitor, who is going to get all of their business.
Interesting. All right. So well, then being it sounds like the snapshot of what you're saying here is it's that's the case. Deal with it. You know, you're going to have to devote some time to all the various media outlets. So I guess a better way to phrase the question then is, given all these social media outlets that photographers have to address, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Quora is another big one.
Yeah.
What's the other one that does the location?
You got Foursquare, you got Google, you got YouTube. I mean, there are infinite numbers of social tools, and I know where you're going with this. And what I would say to somebody that's like, okay, where do I start? What do I do? I would tell.
Well, it wasn't so much that. It wasn't so much what do I do. It's how do I allocate my resources, because I know what photographers are asking me, and they're saying, I only have 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
I can't do everything. What are the key ones that I need to hit? And my answer has always been, you've got to have a website. You've got to have a blog, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Those were my biggies.
Yeah, and those are the big ones. If you don't have time to do all of those, and it does, it takes time to get time. I mean, I have all of my clients that I do work for, plus I do my own. It's just understanding and kind of retraining your mind to realize that it's a priority, just like eating. You have to eat, so you have to do this.
I've gone a few days without eating, but...
Okay, well, if I go a couple hours without eating, I get cranky, so, you know.
Then never go camping with me.
The way that I would say to allocate your time is start thinking about when you have time that you're wasting. For example, you know, if you're sitting on the couch hanging out and just watching TV, you know, it's your evening night, it's Sunday, turn on your computer and jot down some notes on blog posts that you would like to write. You know, it's, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, before you turn on your computer and start anything else that you're going to do for the day, give yourself 30 minutes to just start writing down blog post ideas. That 30 minutes isn't going to make or break your day, but it will make or break your social media strategy. And it's the same thing with Twitter, is you need to plan out, I need to send 10 tweets today. So I'm going to make sure that I've replied to people 3 times, that I've retweeted 3 different links, that I've sent out 2 links of my portfolio, and I've sent out, you know, a link to my blog post.
Okay, pause right there.
Yes.
Because you just hit on something very key that I think a lot of people don't realize about Twitter. And I've been just as guilty of this myself, and that's even having some measure of awareness, if you will, about Twitter, because there's different things about Twitter that can be done, one of which is having a conversation.
Yes.
All right. You can always have a conversation with an individual and have a little back and forth, and the fact that it's happening publicly can be a good thing because it's showing that you have a little personality, that's showcasing who you are. But then the second part of it, which is what you just started getting into, is retweeting other people's work, which I think in my mind is saying like the networking thing. So you retweet other people to show, hey, it's not, you know, that it's not just about you, it's about the community and sharing and networking with others and promoting
Absolutely.
Others and, you know, paying it forward kind of thing. And then the third part of that is something I've also been doing myself, and I use a service called Twitter, which is where you can set up tweets to be programmed and sent at a later time.
And if you use TweetDeck, you can schedule your tweets, and I do that with my blog post links. You know,
so on that subject then, are the what kind of strategy, and we've already mentioned them a little bit, but it sounds like those are the strategies that you would, I guess, use Twitter to leverage yourself exactly. in various ways.
And if you're using Facebook, one of the things is with blogging is that I always recommend doing a blog calendar. So you plan out when you're going to be writing, which posts you're writing. I know we've had this conversation, but with Facebook, I recommend the same thing. If you're using a Facebook page, plan out, okay, I want to talk about this type of photography this day. I want to do this this day. And schedule out your messaging because we're not all brilliant on the spot. I know for me, it takes me time to think how I want to phrase things. And so I give myself that time. I plan out what I want to be posting on my Facebook page ahead of time. You know, yes, sometimes it changes if there is something important that's happened recently, you know, mm-hmm. that would make more sense to talk about. But planning your thoughts is perfectly acceptable. You don't have to be brilliant every second.
Yeah. Very few people are brilliant every second of every day.
Yeah, those that are scare me. There's something going on there.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to know what you're smoking, but
yeah,
thanks for the info kind of thing. So, and I guess that kind of it kind of gives a global or a broad picture of really what the purpose is of all these social media outlets. It's not just getting your craft out there and sharing your vision with the world, which is very noble and a very healthy approach to take towards all these things, but whether it's a website or it's Twitter or it's Facebook or pick your social media, LinkedIn, it's a Quora, it doesn't matter. The purpose of these various outlets is to accomplish, I think, one of four different things, and correct me if I'm wrong here. The first one is to showcase your personality because that's what's going to sell you.
Mm-hmm.
The second is to network with others in your community. So that way, if someone else in your community gets a job that they can't do, they know you. Oh, my friend Jason, or oh, I know Kirsten Wright over there can help you with some social media stuff. She's really good. Go talk to her. Connection made.
Absolutely.
So networking is a second point. The third point is to show interactions with other people, feature other people, you know, talk, you know, like you said, retweeting. And now I'm drawing a blank on what the fourth one was. I had four key things. I forget what the fourth one was. But feel free to chime in. Would you agree with that overall concept,
Absolutely.
Though, that each of these serves a purpose? It's not just – and I hate to say social media isn't about being social because it is, but being social, you shouldn't just be social just to be social. It should be a means to an end. You're being Absolutely. Social to accomplish an objective.
Absolutely. Social media, you should be personal. I mean, not overtly personal. I really don't want to know that, you know, your college child brought home bed bugs. Nobody needs to know that ever.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, you should be sharing things. For example, I adopted a greyhound about a year ago, and I share some of his quirks with the world because I sure. find them entertaining. And I've made connections with other people who are like, oh, I have a greyhound too. And then we get to talking about what they do, and all of a sudden you have a new friend on Twitter, and it's fabulous.
Right. And the social aspect is very appealing.
Yeah.
And I guess the whole point that I was trying to illustrate there was, while that's great, it's a means to an end, though.
Absolutely.
It's just a showcase.
And that was what I was going to say is, as well, I do talk about things like that. I also share a ton of links to my own website. I talk about what I offer. I send links to my blog posts. You know, I ask people questions. I'm monitoring keywords that are appropriate for my business so I can respond to people if they have questions that I think I can answer. Yes,
now, absolutely. See, that's something I don't do. I think you and I need to have a conversation offline.
Well, I'm sure we do.
We probably will at some point.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. Is any tool that you use, the main priority should be, how is this benefiting my bottom line? How am I going to be able to turn this into more business? With that said, social media will not increase your business overnight. In fact, it probably won't increase your business in 3 months. It's going to take time because mm-hmm. it's something that you're making a commitment to, and that's the only way that it's going to work. However, it will work.
And you just hit on something key there because you said it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in 3 months. It might not even happen in 6 months. And I guess that's my own pet peeve, is people are saying, I'm having trouble justifying this to my boss because they don't understand how we're going to monetize this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, stop with the monetization semantics. That's
– yeah. You know, here's the –
yes, it will – like you said, it will monetize over time, but it's like you want – so many people want to just plug in numbers to determine funding.
Absolutely. And I deal with that a lot with my clients, especially the larger companies, because they're like, you know, we have to have a ROI on it. And
yeah.
I write for the OC Metro. I write a social media column for them. And at the beginning of this month, I wrote a post about that. And there's four different returns that you actually get with social media. Number one is your financial return, and you can track that by using tools like Google Analytics, and Facebook has insights, and you can determine, you know, how many things are getting clicked on and if that's turned into sale. But you also have a conversation return. You know, the value of the people who are talking to you is extremely high. I mean, you go to a networking event to meet new people. This is just online networking. You also have a site traffic return, which is the number of people that are actually just going to your website. And the more people you get to your website, the more likely you will get business out of it if you have a good site. And then you also have a branding return. I mean, everyone needs their own brand. And you can't create a brand out of nothing. Social media allows you to strengthen your brand. You know, if people follow me on Twitter, they're going to see I wear a cowboy hat in my picture. If you look at my Facebook business profile, if you look at my website, if you looked at my LinkedIn, if you look at my YouTube, my Quora, anywhere that you go, you're going to see that same picture. You're going to see the wood background. You get my business card. It's a wood business card with my picture on it.
Is it really made out of wood?
Yes, it's actually made out of wood.
Oh, very cool.
That's my brand.
That's very cool.
I couldn't create that brand just with the business card. It takes an entire strategy for that brand to be worth anything. And then, you know, if you meet me in person, I wear my cowboy hat to all of my networking events. People know my hat.
They're like, oh, that's Kirsten. Yeah, that's brilliant.
I went to Blog World last year, which is a huge – well, Blog World and PubCon, which are two huge conferences in Vegas for the blog world.
Hmm.
And I would have people walking up to me and be like, oh, my gosh, you're Kirsten. And I didn't say hi to them, nothing. They just saw the hat. And they know me that way. And you can do the same thing with your brand. I'm not suggesting wearing a cowboy hat or, you know, any hat for that matter, but you can create a
persona
for yourself that people then know you for.
So you're saying for a photographer, then the brand, and this is kind of interesting too, that you tied in something here, and I'm taking notes here like crazy. So for those of you that are listening and wanting to scribble everything down, don't worry, I'm getting it all done for you. We'll have some show notes that are going up. But you mentioned a persona for a photographer, and then you also mentioned one of the four returns on social media was a branding identity and the importance of that. So are you – and I guess just to kind of clarify things for other people, when you talk about the branding identity or the branding return, the return on branding investment or – I'm not sure how you word it, but you talked about –
Instead of just return on investment, it's branding return on investment.
Branding return. Okay. So the branding return speaks to your persona, where people recognize your persona because that is your brand.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. All right. Because I know we had four different things. You mentioned financial, conversation, site traffic, and branding. And I think it sounds like the number two, three, and four, conversation, site traffic, and branding, really are – yes, they're distinct, but they're also part of this umbrella of things that all speak to your visibility.
Absolutely. And that's the reason we use social media. You know, there are some people who use social media because it's going to make me more money. And those people, you know, need a little like reality check, because social media is not going to make you money. What you do with social media and what it brings you can make you money. And that's the differentiation that you need to have, is that using social media is not going to be like, oh, you're on Twitter, so here's money. But it is going to be, you're on Twitter, I've gotten to know you better, I now trust you as a photographer, and now I'm going to hire you.
Right. And now here's some money.
Exactly. You know, because we all need the money.
Right. And it's like we said, it's a means to an end.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally a means to an end. So I'm taking all these notes below our talking points for the day. So I think we've probably pretty solidly made the case for the fact that blogging definitely is not dead.
No, it's
here to stay. It is important to have a blog as part of a website.
Well, the other thing that ties into that. Bad blogging is dead.
Bad blogging is dead. That's a good point. Bad blogging is dead. The other thing I always tell people, and this is just strictly from like an SEO perspective, or we talked about the visibility of you as a photographer. Your website and your blog are visible to web crawlers.
Yes.
So each time you make a new blog post on your blog, it's another page. It's getting indexed by Google. Absolutely. And Yahoo and Lycos. Lycos, I'm revealing my age, but you get the idea of Bing. There
you
go.
Yeah, you definitely are, because I've never heard of that one.
Oh, snap. But it's these web crawlers that crawl the web, and they search out all the pages that are online, and they index them.
Yeah, and that is the nice thing with a blog. Is the blog doesn't count as one page. Every post is a page. So, you know, you write for a couple of years, and, for example, I've had my blog, oh, my God, 3 years now, and I have over 600 pages on my website because of my blog.
Yep. Yeah, I think I hit 2,000 posts the other day or something, and I was like, oh, my God.
Wow, you're even more active than I am.
Well, I was blogging 5 times a day pretty solidly for about 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah. See, I only started just this past year doing it 5 times a week. I was only doing about 3 times a week, so I have now upped it.
I'm going back down on my end. I'm realizing that I can put out – if the content is good, and here's where I think that – because the traditional phrase is content is king.
Yes.
And I think that still holds true. And for me, from my blogging perspective, I would rather put out 2 really awesome posts a week, Tuesday and Thursday, or 3 awesome posts a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, than 5 mediocre posts.
Completely agree. You know, what I always tell beginning bloggers is write 5 days a week and only publish your best 3.
Because
if you give yourself, you're only writing 3 days a week, then most people will only be happy with 1 of those posts. So I think it's better to write 5 days a week and then pick your best to publish. Because that way, the more that you write, the better your writing is going to get. It's the same thing on Twitter and Facebook. The more active you are, the better you're going to be using those tools.
Interesting. See, that's, wow. Great tips. I got to start taking more notes. I'm sitting here listening and nodding, and I'm not taking enough notes for the podcast audience. So you might want to take some of your own notes, actually.
I shouldn't be letting you take notes. I normally charge a lot for this.
Well, this is actually, then, this isn't really for me. This is more for the show notes.
I'm so teasing.
Oh. Well, some people and that's actually a good point that kind of might be a good way to wrap up our discussion, because we've talked about pretty much all the bullet points that I had in our show notes about blogging being microblogging versus regular blogging. I bandied those terms about there, but I don't think we really described them.
I think you would
probably be better served as being the one to define those for the listening audience. So what's microblogging versus regular blogging?
Technically, the difference is microblogging is a mini version of blogging. Twitter has been considered a microblogging service because you have 140 characters to share your thoughts, which basically is a mini version of what you can do on your blog. There's a lot of other microblogging services that you can use. Tumblr is more considered a microblogging because you can post really quick, small things. But you could turn anything into a microblog. I mean, you could use WordPress as a microblog and only do, you know, 3 sentences each blog post. That would technically make it a microblog. I'm a firm believer that you need to keep them separate. You know, your blog should have 350 to 400 word posts, and then you send them out through Twitter where you have micro thoughts that you also send out. I really kind of hate the term microblogging, but it makes sense for what it is.
Right. There was one other one where it was some kind of audio thing. I forget what it was.
Well, you have vlogging, video blogging.
No, it was something that was only available on the iPhone where you could record like a 2-minute audio thing, and then you could post it through your iPhone.
Yeah, well, iPhones suck, so you know. Sorry, I'm a PC. I'm totally anti-Apple, like severely anti-Apple. So yeah, no, I'm a PC.
Well, I'm sitting here with my MyTouch 4G, which is my work phone, my Motorola Android phone, and my Windows XP box in front of me. So right now, I have to agree with you.
Yeah,
but if I go downstairs into the basement, I do have my MacBook Pro and my Apple there.
Yeah,
so.
No, I'm on a Sony Vaio laptop right now, and then I have a custom built desktop because I do a lot of design work, so I needed something that can basically run NASA. So I have my custom built PC that I built out. I have a Droid X on Verizon. We have my husband's Xbox. He has a PC. Yeah, no, I'm a total PC girl.
Total PC, cool.
Yeah.
I think we pretty much hit on every topic that was on our show notes. The last point that I think we wanted to kind of drive home, and it's something that we alluded to at the beginning where we talked about hiring a designer to design your website for you. For starting photographers, and I get a lot of people saying, I just don't have the money.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have the money to hire a graphic designer to design my logo for my brand, and to hire a web designer to design my website, and hire a social media expert to do my social media stuff for me so I can go out and take pictures.
Yeah.
And like, well, then you got to do it yourself.
Here's
you know,
the thing.
I know that's kind of harsh, but.
Well, here's the thing. I don't believe that you should hire somebody to do your social media for you as an individual. If you're a company, I work with a lot of companies that I actually help them to implement their social media. But for an individual, what you need to be hiring is a social media strategist. Which is what I consider myself. I'm not a social media expert by any stretch of the imagination because you can't. Social media changes daily, and if you claim to be an expert, you scare me. However, I am a social media strategist. The reason that I choose that phrase is because I believe in a strategy behind the tools, and it's implementing that strategy is what I believe you need to hire. For example, if somebody hires me to build out a strategy for them, I can build out a 3-month, 6-month, or year-long strategy. And it's not just here's what you tweet. It's here's how we're going to brand you. Here's your messaging structure. Here's blog content. We develop out a messaging structure for your online. We combine it with your current marketing, and or if you don't have that, we'll create other marketing. And so it's putting everything into motion together. And here's the thing. I get that a lot of people are like, I don't have the money. I'm just getting started. I understand that. But the money that you are risking by jumping in feet first and not having any idea what you're doing and risking ruining your brand, is it really worth it?
Right.
And yeah. You don't have to spend 10 grand on a social media strategist. You know, I'll tell you, I have my starter packages are as low as $150, you know, for a couple hours with me to do a base strategy. Then, of course, you know, I do have the higher level where I have, you know, a $20,000 strategy that's, you know, the year. It's a lot of implementation, or, you know, there's a lot of discussion, and you're getting into the, you know, $20,000 or $25,000.
Sure.
But that's for a year worth of a strategy. It's a completely different level. And then, of course, there's every gray level in between, depending on exactly what you need.
Yeah, and the same thing could be said for a web designer. You know, if you're sufficiently fluent in the language, but you just don't have time to build out an entire website and blog, you know, it's very feasible to get the web designer to build the framework for you, and then you can just go to town after that with blog posts and with updating your galleries and with, you know, updating the content.
Absolutely.
Of it with that framework already in place. Same thing goes for a graphic designer. I have a friend over on the NAP forum community that helped me develop the brand identity for Canon Blogger. And the logo that's up there was – I didn't create that. I couldn't create that in a million years. That was a graphic designer that created that for me. And you can do bits and pieces when – I think this is what you're getting at, Kirsten, is you can do bits and pieces where you can do $150 there or $200 there and $300 there and $75 there. And if you're – you know, I call it nickel and diming because I used to do a lot of gambling at the casinos. Right?
Yeah.
I get nickel and dimed to death, so to speak.
It's true. And that's exactly where I recommend that – most people start is invest in a really good logo, because especially for a photographer, your logo is what every single watermark is going to be. It's going to be all over the place. It's going to be extremely visible. You need something that really speaks volumes about who you are. And then get a graphic designer to design you a beautiful header and some custom buttons. And then use a template to start with. You know, use something that is easy to work with. And slowly work into the point where you're doing something completely custom, where you're able to, you know, do the $20,000 website that has fully integrated galleries. People can purchase directly through your site, you know.
You're not going through eJunkie. You're not going through.
Exactly.
It's all self-contained.
Get to that point.
Yeah, but exactly.
But you're never going to be able to run a successful business without support from other people who are experts at what they do. You are not an expert at everything, and should you try to be, you will fail.
And not only will you fail, but you will fail at everything.
Yeah.
You can't do everything. You need to pick where your best talents are and focus your time there. I think it's the upshot of what we're getting at here. Cool. Well, Kirsten, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're going to have to schedule some time offline because I think I am going to probably be doing one of your intro packages there on the social media thing. I've got my blogging calendar, so for those of you that are listening to the podcast, you'll know that you may notice that the blogging calendar will start getting more regular. We'll probably be looking at a Tuesday, Thursday post, at least for the next 3 to 6 months. And I'll be getting a structure out there of what people can expect as far as when the contests will come out, when the newsletters will be coming out, when you can expect podcasts to come out, webinars, things like that. So do keep up with the blog because you'll be getting some announcements there soon. As we round out the show, I've mentioned your name a couple of times, Kirsten, and we've mentioned Right Creativity, but we've not done everything collectively. So if people want to contact you to ask you some questions or to schedule some time,
absolutely,
where can they find you?
Easiest place, if you want to send me a quick message or you have a question, you can reach me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Kirsten Wright, KirstenWright. If you want to see my work, check out some of my experience, or contact me with a little bit longer message, you can check out my website, writeCreativity.com. Of course, you can find my blog, my portfolio, my social media. All of that is on there. And then if you're looking for training or things like that, I do actually offer large class training in Orange County. If you want to book me locally, I also travel for events and we'll do large-scale training classes pretty much anywhere in the nation, and cost just depends on where it is.
You don't go international? Oh, man. So you should say you serve the U.S. and the Caribbean.
The problem with the international ones is most people aren't willing to foot the bill for the flight cost.
I know. I was just kidding.
Absolutely. I will do I will do training classes in, let's see, Spain, Italy, Greece.
France. Caribbean, yeah. Mexico. You know, if you're in the Maldives and you need to have a photographer for your wedding, give me a call. Well, Kirsten, thank you so much for coming on the show. Were there any last little bits or nuggets that you wanted to share? Because I know we talked about quite a bit here. It was pretty expansive, I should say.
Yeah, I would say
we covered a lot of things superficially.
The final thing I would say is check out my blog. A lot of the stuff that we've covered, I've done more in-depth on certain pieces of it. My blog is kind of my spot for people to really learn. I share a lot of tips and tricks for free on there. And that's kind of the best place to start to get some ideas. But my biggest tip is, look, if you're going to take a risk, if you're going to take that leap into social media, you're going to take that leap into really wanting to start a business, sit down with someone.
Right. Yeah, you really have to. And it's all about investing in yourself. If you don't invest in yourself, how are you going to expect others to invest in you is the way I always phrase it to people. Yeah, I mean, if it's just where it's at. Yeah, I mean, you have to believe in yourself if you expect others to believe that you have the talents and skills to accomplish what it is you want.
You don't see somebody, you know, Coca-Cola didn't start a business just going, let's play it by ear. You know,
Let's wing it.
Bought loans. You know, they did it the right way. And that's you know, what we all have to do. Even if you have a fabulous idea doesn't get you anywhere unless you have the strategy behind it.
Right. And it's all about baby steps. Don't feel like you got to go huge right out the gate, which
absolutely
is the other part of what we were getting at here. You know, work your way up to it. Baby steps, plan, strategize, and think smart. And move forward from there. Well, Kirsten, thanks again so much for coming on the show. I said for having me on your show.
Yeah.
You know, wow, this was welcome. A great podcast. I forgot it was my own show. Another key part of a social strategy, remember who's the host.
Yeah.
Remember that for my next show. Kirsten, thanks again so much. We'll see you all here next time at Learning.